Vice President Kamala Harris will preside over another swearing-in ceremony this afternoon at the Capitol for Georgia's two new senators, the Democrats Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff, the first Black and first Jewish senators from Georgia. Angie Maxwell is director of the Diane Blair Center of Southern Politics at the University of Arkansas. She joins us from Little Rock for a look at today through a politics lens. Hi, Angie.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here. And comment on the two new senators first. This didn't happen out of thin air. Ossoff was a teenage intern for John Lewis, the Georgia congressman, the late civil rights hero. And after winning, Ossoff tweeted out, "And now a Jewish man that Lewis mentored and a Black man who was his pastor," meaning Raphael Warnock, "have been elected to represent the state of Georgia in the U.S. Senate." Just, you know, talk about, I mean, that's a lot of history combining for that moment.
It is. I'm struck today over and over again about, you know, the role that Black Southerners have played in what we witnessed today. I mean, this is the community that gave Joe Biden momentum in a crowded primary field. I think about the past generations of Black Southerners who worked with the Freedmen's Bureau in the aftermath of the Civil War to establish HBCUs like the great Howard University, where Vice President Kamala Harris received her undergraduate degree. And then, as you said, Black Southerners in Georgia 2 weeks ago made her one of the most powerful vice presidents in history by turning out in record numbers for Senators Warnock and Ossoff, which gives her the tie-breaking vote. A Senate that might get to increase stimulus money and take up legislation on voting rights, that they might, because of that tie and her tiebreaker vote, be able to pass the John Lewis Voting Rights Act is just an incredible testament to the work that has been done over generations.
Right. Well, and, you know, so what happens now? And by the way, you know, Black women like Stacey Abrams, the force behind that win. And one of my favorite moments after the election, I asked the CNN Black commentator, Bakari Sellers. You know, we were exploring how do we move forward with such a divide? And this was before the insurrection. How to heal. And he said, he was kind of perplexed. And he said, "Well, Black women just saved democracy in Georgia. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what more we can do." In other words, it's not our job as African-Americans. Whose is it? I just asked the Republican former Senator Jeff Flake, who fixes this? Who heals this? Who tells, you know, two-thirds of Republicans this election was real?
Well, I don't think any one person heals it. I mean, I think what we learned from Stacey Abrams' example is you couldn't have had a better candidate in the Georgia's governor's race, a more talented candidate than Stacey Abrams. It's never one candidate. It's about the obstacles that get in our path to true representative democracy. Right. And she went about tearing those obstacles down without her name on the ballot. Right. And so what now we need to see is that, you know, unity will come when people in this country feel, you know, safe and secure and their right to vote is secure and the economy is back, you know, in better shape and we have access, equitable access to vaccines. I mean, it's not just going to be rhetoric. It's how people feel that government actually makes a difference in their lives for the better. And that comes with policy.
Yeah, healthcare is political. But again, absolutely. Harris and Biden sworn in today where these fault lines were laid bare. We saw people with Confederate flags and, you know, the battle for T-shirts that have signs on them saying "Battle for Capitol Hill Veteran" and "MAGA Civil War" are selling like hotcakes online. This administration faces a divided country. Let's hear Joe Biden in his inaugural address today.
"And so today, at this time, in this place, let's start afresh, all of us. Let's begin to listen to one another again, hear one another, see one another, show respect to one another."
You know, such challenges. Just your thoughts on what he faces.
Well, you know, his call for unity, I think, is a call for unity behind our institutions and how they were designed, you know, to work, and unity behind democracy. And that means we need to get rid of insult politics, right? That doesn't help. Mm-hmm. And a politics of kind of entertainment and outrage and the real work of government, which is deliverables to the American people that need them. And I feel like also what we have to, the thing that struck me over and over again as I watched the insurrection and the Confederate flag and all of it, is like, what was at stake? What is deeper? What's behind that kind of racism? And I've watched since Obama's election, and it has seemed like it is a projection of sorts, very similar to what we saw in Reconstruction, right? That black leadership will do to whites what too much of white leadership did, you know, to African Americans. And that's not what we're going to see in this administration.
Yeah. Angie Maxwell, we'll have to take this up again. She's director of the Diane Blair Center of Southern Politics at the University of Arkansas. In this moment where the South has seen some shifting, Professor Maxwell, thanks so much.
Thank you so much.